Hello, hello, hello. Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Geekly Revealed. It's that show where we talk about last week's pop culture news. As always, it's your boy Dom, aka Brother Dom, all over the internet. And once again, I am joined by the latest, the greatest, the mint condition, still in the wrapper, co-host. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
Actually, more back in the wrapper than still in the wrapper, because I've just packed up everything in my apartment.
Ooh, so fresh.
Back in the fancy boxes. It is I, everyone, Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter, the Snow Queer on Tumblr, and I'm moving to Brooklyn this week.
That's awesome. Congratulations. Your second apartment in our podcast journey. You excited to move?
Yeah. It's a nice place. It's good, nice neighborhood, nice apartment, cheaper apartment.
Hey, there it is.
closer to work. So.
Nice. Good stuff. Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah. I mean, mostly was packing, but I got a little D&D in and wasn't too inconvenienced by the MTA, which is really all I can ask for at this point.
Well, that is, you would think that's a low bar to clear, but apparently not.
You would think.
Awesome. I had a good weekend. I set my Nintendo Switch up and played Splatoon 2, and it was glorious. I'm very excited. And I went to a BRGR, not the one in Cranberry.
The one in East Liberty?
No, there's another one. I won't name names because why shame people, but it is nowhere near as good as the one in Cranberry. And I...
That's a damn. Solidly,
I solidly prefer Burgatory to BRGR as well. Now it's been confirmed. Their milkshakes aren't as big. They're good, but they're not as big and they're not quite as thick. And I took the little lactose intolerance pill, so it was
gonna
a good
say if you're gonna suffer through the milkshake, well, then it might as well be a big thick milkshake.
you are right though. It was have you ever had something you're like this is a very good treat? But I know that there's a better treat that would have cost me roughly the same amount of money, maybe less, or maybe a little bit more for, like,
but
less
it
than
worth it.
Less than twice as much, but for almost twice as much content. So it's kind of like I call it ice cream content. But let's get into some real content. So you want to get into this stuff?
Yeah, let's start with the most important thing. And by that, I mean the most important thing to me personally.
Yeah, because I guess we're going to get to Comic-Con after the bump.
Yeah. which is, again, similarly to last week's episode, a thing I discovered literally within minutes of finishing recording, that Sayuki, the anime, is airing again. And Sayuki is an anime, one of the very first anime that I got into in high school. It is a retelling of the Journey to the West, like, classic Asian legend, myth, like, formative tale, featuring the Monkey King and a Buddhist priest, and their two semi-demon folk that go with them to India to bring back the Mahayana scriptures and invent Buddhism in China and Japan. But, of course, in this reimagining... Because the Journey to the West story has been reimagined by, like, everything from Dragon Ball Z to, like, straight up Shonen Ai. Like, this is a kind of, like, edgelordy, anachronistic... It's kind of like the Hamilton of anime.
Okay.
It's a bunch of hot guys. Like, all of the characters are hot guys who have kind of sexual tension with each other. None of them are very good at Buddhism.
this does sound like Hamilton, you're right.
including the guy who is supposed to be, like, the most pure Buddhist priest. It's kind of a running joke in the show that, like, they're like, ah, Genjo Sanzo is coming, I've heard his party is nearing our town, and he's, like, sitting at the bar. They're like, we can't wait for this priest to come and bless our town. He's like, I'm out of cigarettes. So yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. I also am not sure what they're going to do, why they chose this time to do this, because the mangaka went on hiatus, like, several years ago. These people have been traveling to India for longer than, like, some people have been alive. Like, people are going to be turning old enough to like, vote soon. Who were born before, like, who this story started before they were born. And they're still not to India, but they're getting close now. And so even though the series is on hiatus, the manga is on hiatus, so I'm not quite sure what they're pulling a Game of Thrones and just kind of riding by the seat of their pants, I guess. But I'm happy to have them back.
That's cool. Well, I mean, you know, if things might take a long time to come back, but they could be great when they come back. Yeah. I hope that's the case, because that's how I feel about Kingdom Hearts.
There's another one that's been going for a long time. They're still not there yet.
Hey, you know what I wonder?
What I wonder is Kingdom Hearts 3 going to be the end of the story or just the next installment in the main story? Like, are we just like we're waiting for the Winds of Winter, but there's still another book left? Like,
why would you even raise that concern? Kingdom Hearts doesn't end stuff, it just keeps going. I'm just interested in what's happening with Sora. I could care less about the general canon of Kingdom Hearts.
That's your problem, is because what's his name who's writing the story does not care about Sora. He cares about all of his other OCs.
It seems interesting, it seems vaguely interesting, but it's like this release schedule and console schedule is too much to keep up with. But I did hear in an interview why the delays have happened.
Which is?
So apparently, and this is also a thing with like a lot of Japanese developers, especially with like the prominence of Western development becoming kind of like king shit over the last, like, if you've heard about like Japanese gaming was over, it never was, but that was kind of a thing. Kind of with like Halo and American developers and like Call of Duty kind of being like the big boys at the table, and like your Assassin's Creed with like your French Canadians and like Ubisoft is French. Asian developers kind of weren't like the big dogs for the longest time, other than like your occasional Final Fantasy or something. So we've kind of made some good engines, like the Cry Engine, the Unreal Engine, like game engines reprogram things, even your Unity, which is pretty good. It's just a lot of amateurs make stuff on it, but Unity makes good games too, which has actually been a controversy this week. But apparently a lot of Japanese developers are coming over to use the American engines just because of the way that companies are. Mm-hmm. So Square Enix was like, yo, Kingdom Hearts team, y'all gotta use Unreal Engine 4 now. And they're like, but our game is, I don't know what percentage it was done, but it was more done than it was. And they're like, yeah, you're gonna have to use this engine. So like, we have to rebuild the entire game. Like, yeah, you have to rebuild the entire game. So I don't know how far along they were or how close we were to getting Kingdom Hearts 3 before they had to pretty much throw it all away. Because Square Enix usually just makes a whole entire engine for their games to begin with. So we may have, my whole thing is if that happened any time less than the last 3 years, we should have had the game far before they got told to change the engine, I'm assuming. But, you know, there's part of it. They had to change engines, so there was a point where we were a lot closer than we were now to go back to zero, so there's a thing. Hashtag video
like
games.
I was gonna say, it sounds like a totally legitimate reason.
Yeah. it's legit.
I say that part sarcastically and part genuinely.
That's the thing. I don't know how long game development should take. I know that they decide to make a brand new engine for pretty much every Final Fantasy game, it seems like. Like, so not one of the big ones Americans have, they just make one, which is a great way to have very customizable things in your game, like, from the developer standpoint, but it's also not necessarily the most useful thing. If you're, as a company, your goal is to make a ton of money, look, Call of Duty and Assassin's Creed use the same engine, like, year in and year out. I mean, even when they upgrade to a new engine, they don't seem to take that long, so it's...
I mean, but some of the Assassin's Creed games, I feel like the scuttlebutt is that they could have used more time in development.
Well, absolutely. They should have. that's what happens when you push out a game in a year on from the ground up, even if it's the same engine, and you know how to use it. That doesn't mean like your assets were all in a row, as we can see. But I mean, like, they're like, oh, hey, check it out. We have, like, a Toy Story world and a Big Hero 6 world. I'm like, these games are, or these, like, Big Hero 6 is relatively recent. That means you weren't done with this game before Big Hero 6 was announced. So, like, y'all were already taking forever. So it's just kind of, whatever, what's this next thing?
Let's jump back. I actually thought you were when you were segueing that you were going to jump down to the next one after this, but the next thing is just a brief mention because I haven't actually watched the trailer yet. But there's a movie coming out riding on the Wonder Woman. I don't want to quite say riding on its tails because it's not quite like it doesn't star Wonder Woman, but they're making a movie about William Moulton Marston or Martin Molston, one of those two, who was the creator of Wonder Woman. He was a pretty progressive thinker for his time. He was in a polyamorous relationship with two women who they had, like, a very happy family life. And after he died, the two women lived together for the rest of their lives and raised all the children that they had together. He based Wonder Woman off of the two of them. Like, the one of them wore those bracelets that he based them off of. Like, a lot of the things that he did in his life and, like, the things that influenced his relationship with these two women are...
Like the bondage stuff?
In the bondage stuff, yeah, the bondage stuff too. Are things that showed up in Wonder Woman, including he also invented the polygraph test.
Yeah, so the lie detector, right?
He had a thing about lie detectors, like...
Well, Wonder Woman was this whole thing, like, of course the thing that makes you tell the truth is also an instrument of bondage. Like, this guy had very specific tastes and flavors in his life.
But, so they're making they're making a movie based on his life and kind of telling the story. And so far, like I said, I've not watched the trailer, but I did read a book once about the creation of Wonder Woman, and people who are talking about the trailer seem very pleased with it so far, so.
Good. Well, you know Hollywood's good at telling a story about a man, so, you know.
That's the truth.
The irony here.
Telling a story about a man, telling a story about a woman.
Yeah.
So yeah, go ahead.
Good. Oh, I was it's an aside. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to segue to the next thing. So,
let's step aside. I saw a thread today talking about how there's not a lot of women doing male properties. Where I was like, make sure that Wonder Woman has a female director, which we should.
But not letting women direct things with male characters and then saying, oh, but we're trying to prioritize putting women on the female projects.
Yeah, but not even that. Just that it's the companies doing that, but it's, like, also the fans saying, you know, like, as... The problem is, like, it's happening as if there's only a finite amount of women who can direct, which, yeah, in the grand scheme of things, yes, there's a finite amount of people, but there's there's far more people and female directors, well, I guess directors of any gender, than there are movies. I think this is technically has to be the case. Coming out at any given time. So, yeah, we have a woman directing Wonder Woman. We could have a woman directing, like, the next Batman movie. Or Superman. And why not have a woman direct the next Suicide Squad? Because, I mean, if you're a fanboy who thinks women can't direct, it's not like she can screw it up any more than a man did. So, but yeah, so it was just an interesting thought that we definitely should get women directing female-led movies, but we should also let them at the table of other gendered characters.
Mm-hmm.
Because women happen to be competent.
Yeah, it perpetuates the idea that, like, women can do women things, but they can't understand how men do things.
Right. It's absurd. You know, it's just dumb, and I don't have words for it.
It's okay.
But, you know, let's go on the next thing, which also defies words to a degree. So there was a They're bringing back Rocko's Modern Life for, like, a special or a movie or a limited series or something. I can't remember.
Yeah, that's why I thought you were segueing directly to this from Sayuki, because I was like, oh, yes, another show that out of nowhere has come back for reasons no one is quite sure of.
I'm not quite sure. I feel like I heard rumors of this before, but it's kind of like how, you know how, like, Kel Mitchell dies every year on the internet?
Uh-huh.
Like, Rocker's Modern Life feels like the thing that's born every year on the internet, so you're like, that's not gonna happen. But yeah, I guess also with DuckTales coming back and Hey Arnold coming back, they're like, Nickelodeon's like, why not just strike on our properties and see what else we can bring back? Did you see the trailer for this?
I did not, but I read something about it, because that's what I do. And it seems like it's kind of like like millennial commentary, but I wasn't sure if I got a feeling of whether people were like, aha, yes, this is very, very good, or, oh, this is very pedantic and bad.
It seemed like somewhere in the middle, which I hate middle of the roading myself. I don't mind when other people do it as much in this sense. That I never really liked Rocko's Modern Life growing up, because it was a little bit like, I didn't like the gross out of like Ren and Stimpy and Rocko's Modern Life. I found it shallow.
Yeah, I would agree.
But I didn't catch the adult stuff when I was a child, so like I didn't catch how, I guess, subversive it actually was.
Yeah.
Like the stuff how like Rocko was like a phone sex operator, like if you looked at the signs in the background, I didn't see that as a kid, so like the stuff that would be funny to the creators and people now didn't really hit me little. But otherwise, to me, it just seemed like it was just slapstick humor, which I'm like, this is the same humor as the Looney Tunes, but they're doing it better on Looney Tunes, but this has boogers, and I don't really care to see boogers kind of thing. But the humor, it looked like it captured, like, the sense of humor of the old one. They even got their one adult joke into the trailer. But it is playing, like, off millennial commentary. Maybe not so much millennials, but, like, the stuff happening.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that was kind of, like, Rocko's aversion to, not aversion, but, like, misfortune with life, like everything is going against him.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of with Rocko's bad luck and like Heifer's gluttony and Philbert's being a dork, what would that look like now? But also, what would it look like, oh hey, there's been 20 years of this show not being on, we're gonna hit all the things from the last 20 years, you guys, like looking at you directly in the eyes, telling you that's what they're going to do. So I don't know, it didn't feel, when someone looks at you and says, I'm about to be cynical, and then is, it doesn't feel cynical as if they didn't do that first part. So it doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't seem trash to me. It doesn't seem like that. So I'd give it a watch. If it was on TV, I would watch it. I'm curious to see how it turns out.
Yeah, I'm interested. Speaking of reboots of, old, like you said, old cartoons, in riding off of the already success of the DuckTales reboot, despite the fact that it has not even come out yet, they announced, this may or may not, I can't remember if they announced it at D23 or at
Comic-Con. I think it was D23, yeah.
Okay, so it's not quite, but we just saw it late. They're making a Darkwing Duck show!
Yes.
Ooh, let's get dangerous.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how that comes out. I think he's also going to be in this DuckTales special that's before the show starts.
It's a shared universe anyway, so
yeah, like in a very loose sense. I feel like Gizmo Duck's in both, right? Launchpad McQuack is in both.
Which ones is Launchpad McQuack Gizmo Duck's person?
Launchpad McQuack's like he's the I don't know what species of duck he's
like
he's the pilot.
The big duck is the pilot, correct?
Yeah. And Gizmo Duck is the robot. Well, no, he's a robot, too, I guess.
Because that's by Lin, right?
Lin's the nerd dude, but I don't know if Lin's the dude who pilots Gizmo Duck or the dude who built Gizmo Duck.
If they're even the same person. I think he's the dude who built Gizmo Duck, but I don't remember enough.
Yeah, I don't remember enough either. I always caught it in the weird times, but shared universe. The DuckTales extended universe.
Yes.
I think someone raised it in our group chat. Why is Donald the only duck who talks the way that he talks?
I don't know. Maybe it's not the standard. Maybe he has, like, a speech impediment or something.
See, like, I jokingly said, but it's also possible. Like, Donald Duck's sailorism used to be more prominent as a thing.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that was the way of saying, oh, he talks like a sailor. Get it? Like, it's, instead of, like, having to censor him, you just can't understand him because he cusses so much. Wink, wink. That's the only thing I have, because I have no clue why he talks like that. It's not even like a goofy Pluto situation where they're two separate forms of the same animal.
Yeah.
Because all the ducks are relatively like some sort of duck. So I don't know what happened. And Scrooge is Scottish for no reason. So, I mean, there's so many things that can happen. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, well, seeing some interesting things about the, apparently, and like I said, I don't remember much, if not anything, about the original Darkwing Duck because I was a small child. So I only have that vague sense of nostalgia that you have for things that you don't remember any of the content of. But you remember watching it?
Yes.
Apparently, Darkwing Duck has, like, a male kind of life partner with whom he raises his daughter.
Is that Launchpad?
Is it Launchpad? It might be.
I'm pretty sure Launchpad just lives with him. Is that, yeah. Is Goslin his daughter or his niece?
Well, either way, it's like they're raising a child, two dudes raising a child together in a domestic situation. Apparently, there were a lot of people commenting on the queer-codedness of Darkwing Duck.
Huh. I guess that's possible.
Like, he's also, like, he isn't, like, a big, like, hulking person. Like, his color scheme is not, like, a stereotypically masculine color scheme.
Yeah, it's purple. Like,
yeah, he's got, like, the purple and the teal.
Is there teal? I thought it was just dark purple and light purple.
I thought he had, like, teal on his hat.
Maybe.
Like the hat band.
I can't remember. I'm thinking of Negaduck. His opposite. His
nemesis.
Yeah, which was just, you know, reverse color Darkwing Duck, which apparently there were two Negaducks because there was a Nega universe for, like, one episode. But then there was, like, just the standard dude who's in the regular universe who's also, like, a bad Darkwing Duck. Mm-hmm. Like, Darkwing Duck had a pretty decent rogues gallery, actually. I can remember at least three of the characters, so, I mean, that's pretty good. That's better than a lot of other heroes. Yeah, so Darkwing Duck might be gay.
Yeah, you heard it first here, if you haven't read any of those other posts about on the internet.
I mean, here's the real progressive alternative. Darkwing Duck is gay, but is still in a heterosexual life partnership with Launchpad McQuack. And he's has to help him find a lover.
Oh, now there's a road trip for the ages. That's actually that's the literal plot of the America Chavez comic that came out last week. Like,
I mean, look.
America and Kate go on a road trip to find the girl that America had a crush on in high school. Like,
well, there it is. I mean, look, if Sonic the Hedgehog can rip off Dragon Ball Z beat for beat, and DuckTales can reference, like, Indiana Jones and all his adventures, I'm sure that Disney can get away. Like, yeah, it's Disney and Marvel. They're, like, buddies. They can just rip off a story from each other. Who's gonna notice? I mean, we'll notice, but, like, who's gonna care?
Speaking of Sonic.
Yep, did that on purpose. Yeah, Sonic the Hedgehog, no longer with Archie Comics. That comic came to a close. I haven't been keeping up with it lately, so I'm assuming he figured out how to stop being the Werehog at some point. But yeah, like, that comic had a really long run, actually, since we were kids. And honestly, it was a much better... I think I've written about it, and I still agree that it's his characterization in the comic is so much better than it is, like, in any of the games or shows. Like, there's actually... I mean, when it's written in pictorial format, you get to characterize your character rather than having him just run in a straight line.
Yeah.
So I'm sad to see that go. You know, people were pretty sad about it. There was kind of they closed the comic with, like, all the heroes looking over the sunset, and it was, like, a nice mix of the Archie characters and the video game characters together, and it was nice. Kind of like Our Adventures Will Go On sort of thing, but this storyline's over. But IDW picked up Sonic, so, I mean, I guess we'll see what goes on. This might be a good time to jump back in. I don't know. I think Sonic definitely works better as a comic hero than a video game. Yeah. Because there's so many technical issues with trying to make a game about a character who moves super fast as his, like, main gimmick. Like, just logistical issues with programming is difficult without making the game exceedingly short, you know what I mean? So, I mean, in comics, you don't have to worry about that. Because all his speed... I mean, if you could write a comic about The Flash, you can technically write one about Sonic, like, with your technical assets. Story-wise, is he's like a fast Spider-Man, is what Sonic is.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I might start looking at that and trying to keep up with that.
Again.
Yeah, always a good time to jump in. And the last thing.
Pokemon Go continues to update. The most recent update, which was this last weekend, some event happened. Apparently, the connectivity was predictably horrible, and no one could really play where things were supposed to happen. But apparently, they succeeded well enough that now you can acquire legendaries in-game. So, twice today, went past a gym that had an open raid on an Articuno. Twice, the game did not acknowledge, but it's right off the one line, just far enough away from where the train stops that by the time you've, accessed the gym, if you're, because the train is in motion, by the time, it's loaded up to give you a raid, you're no longer close enough for the gym to participate in the raid. So, if I hadn't been, bringing boxes home from work today to pack more stuff into, I would have stopped and got off the train and walked over to the goddamn gym so that I could raid for this Articuno. But, it's just right now, I think it's just Articuno, Zapdos, and Moltres.
The birds. Not bad.
The birds. But well, it's cool.
The original birds.
The original birds.
That's good. I'm glad they're there. It only took a year, but, you know.
Yeah.
I just realized Pokemon Go and Overwatch kind of coincided with starting around the same time.
It did.
I don't have a transition with that. That's just something that popped in my head. Well, that's cool. You'll be getting a legendary soon enough.
Hopefully. Can't wait.
Oh, jeez. Hey, well, let's jump into some music, yeah?
Yeah, let's take a break, and then we'll come back with all that sexy Comic-Con news.
Yep. Sexy Dom's Comic-Con. That's what SDCC stands for, right?
Stefan Dom's Comic-Con, excuse you.
That's... Okay, I mean, that's better. It's more thematic, but it's not as awkward. We'll see after the break. Back, hope you like that music. As always, it's in the show notes. Let's talk about Comic-Con.
Yes.
But let's talk about some of the stuff that was around Comic-Con. So you gave me this United story. Break this down for the listeners, please.
Yeah, so this is actually something for, it was a leaving Comic-Con thing, but still worth mentioning before we get into the meat of the Comic-Con weekend. But so the United caused a bit of a kerfuffle, not like a human rights kerfuffle as per usual, stepping away from the brand a little bit there, but, in this case, they put up a warning, basically, on both their, their flight screens in the airport, and also online, that per the TSA, no comic books could be in check bags coming out of San Diego, on any airline this weekend. And obviously, people are like, the fuck is this? I came to a comic convention this weekend, bought some comic books,
and have done this for years.
I want to put them in this check bag. So, people were, tweeting at me, so what's this about? Can you explain why? Because this has never happened before. And they said, please reach out to the TSA for more details. We're just following orders, basically. So the TSA tweets back at them and literally says there's no reason you can't, this is completely false. Put as many comic books in your check bag as you want. There's no reason why you shouldn't be allowed to have comic books in your check bag. You might have to pay more than your regular check fee if you put all of your comics in your check bag, because comic books are damn heavy.
Yeah.
But that's about it. Like,
yeah. So, and they got this just, what, out of nowhere? Like, this isn't a thing?
Yeah, like, literally out of nowhere. Like, there's no, like, freaking the TSA themselves, like, the kings of being pedants about nonsense, were like, nah, it's cool. Put whatever you want in your check bag as long as it's a comic book.
Yeah, it's paper.
Yeah, like, it's literally paper. What's on there?
Maybe static cling?
Yeah, like, what?
Which could...
Like,
could
people are gonna overbalance the airplane because they're...
You'd have to have, like, an absurd amount of... No, because it would still be on your carry-on. It's not like it wouldn't be on the plane.
Like, yeah, it would just be, like, in a different place on the plane. Although they do make sometimes people will be, like... They'll have on, like, the really light planes, like when you fly to, like, Key West or something, they'll have people, like, shift around on the plane if there's an empty seat in the back.
That's disturbing.
Which freaks me out, to be honest. Like, like, 1 to 300 pounds of person is gonna make a difference in the balance of the plane. That's freaky.
But it's like, that makes me just want to, like, drive. I'm just gonna stay safe on the ground where I don't have to shift my weight 5 meters to prevent a catastrophic event. Wow. Okay. Good old United.
Good old United.
And just general news, because it doesn't fit into a category. Doomfist was at Comic-Con. Not actually Doomfist.
Actual Doomfist.
Not actual Doomfist. Fortunately, I guess he's a snappy dresser, but we didn't even talk about the comic. It's not important. Blizzard contracted or commissioned, however it occurred, 2 Doomfist cosplays. One at their World Cup group stage down in Sydney, I believe, and one at San Diego Comic-Con. So these were, like, professionally done cosplays with really good Doomfist gauntlets, like the body paint, the headpieces, and the costume and all that. So that's just a cool thing to know that is happening. And the Masquerade comic came out. It's not a Comic-Con thing, but it was a comic, which maybe we could chat about next week or something.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Let's get some skins from it. Why are they dressed up for a Talon meeting? Let's talk about Marvel.
You just gotta look fresh all the time.
I suppose so. Fine.
Like, if you have the option to look fresh, then look fresh. Like, I guess.
But there was white tuxedo Bond villain, and then there was, like, Renaissance poofy pants Doomfist. Like,
dumb. Reaper is part of Talon.
I hope
Reaper's out there with his, like I was gonna say Stitch Witch, but Reaper respects himself more than using, like, fake seam glue. That man has a sewing machine, like
an industrial sewing machine. He has the damn
sewing
machine.
He's a serger. He has an embroidery machine.
He's a giant, like, ship from Kill la Kill. The one that's, like, the whole room size. He has a line of Talon agents. Just, like, pushing the seams through.
You have to, like, when you start at Talon, your, like, first, like, week is just ripping seams out, like, which is the most tedious of all, and, like, cutting pattern pieces.
And that's why Genji rose to the ranks in Blackwatch so fast, because he's so good with a sword. You know, Genji the Seam Ripper Shimada. So what happened with Marvel at Comic-Con?
So a lot of stuff happened with Marvel at Comic-Con. let's begin, as one should, with Black Panther. Both because I didn't get a lot of the information about Black Panther, so there's not much to talk about, but also because, holy shit, that cast is amazing.
It's a beautiful cast. Wow, like a...
Both of those things. They did reveal a new poster.
They did, but what a beautiful cast. Like, what the hell?
Yeah. Damn. But
Marvel, sponsored by Melanin.
finally. They released a new poster, and they showed either a trailer or some footage during the panel, but it was, like, Comic-Con exclusive. Like, probably, like, I haven't even seen it leaked, which I assume means that, like, they were kicking people out of the room for having a camera out.
Let's see something real quick. But yeah, keep going.
But, I mean, I also have not been, like, hunting for it leaked, but, it was... They made a big deal about the fact that they weren't going to release it online. Let's put it that way.
Okay, well,
But it apparently got a standing ovation.
Yeah, so I know that stuff always gets leaked for a second, but these leaks actually I saw for the first time, like Twitter putting like a copyright claim on something.
Oh, so wow.
That was interesting, because I remember it was the Infinity War trailer, but that got taken down.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I don't even know if it was like, I don't even know what it was, but I didn't hear any tweets about it, so I don't know if it was just like a different cut. Because, I mean, at this point, of course I want to see more Black Panther footage, but I might do what I did with Spider-Man and just try not to watch any more trailers till the movie comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first look I feel like is the best one, maybe even the second one once it's a real trailer instead of just a teaser trailer.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, I'm not dying to see it. I have faith that it'll be acceptable.
Strong words.
I mean, it's Marvel. Like, what are they going to do? Like... I think they know not to make Black Panther their first, like, bad movie.
It can't be. Well, they've already made Age of Ultron, Dom.
They've had, like, but here's the thing, though. Age of Ultron is still better than, like, most of the superhero movies that came before Iron Man 1, save for the Sam Raimi Spider-Mans and Batman The Dark Knight.
Fair.
Like, Ultron, if you take out, like, how they treated Black Widow, which, yeah, that is a big thing, take out. If you take that out... I didn't notice it was a bad movie till like a second watch where I'm like, this kind of isn't that great. But there's a lot to enjoy. I don't know. I'll defend that as like a mediocre movie rather than a bad movie.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I feel like when Marvel swings and misses, it's rarely a miss. It's more of just like a bunt.
Yeah, they get a foul ball when they miss.
Like, some of the sequel movies aren't great. Like, nothing's ever going to be the home run that Winter Soldier was.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But
I mean, Civil War came pretty close, I'd say.
Civil War was pretty good one. I haven't watched it again since I saw it in theaters though, so I should probably watch it again and see if like things hold up. But speaking of captains,
let's talk about some captains.
Yeah, captains and old Marvel movies.
Captain Crunch is getting a cinematic release. No.
Yeah.
Why? Let's get the serial extended cinematic universe. Count Chocula.
Please, can we?
You know, Sonny. You know,
TM the Wolf and us. even though we don't own any of those properties.
But yeah, Captain Marvel.
Yeah, so Captain Marvel. So they released the first. Like, there is, like, a shot of Brie Larson as Captain Marvel, not, like, any footage or anything, and some concept art. They revealed that her villains in her movie are going to be the Skrulls, which, they must have bought back from Sony, because I thought the Skrulls were just another word for the Chitauri, but they had to call them Chitauri in the first Avengers, because Skrulls was copyright to the Fantastic Four franchise.
Possibly, so I don't know what they did, because the Skrulls are, like, at least from when I played them in Marvel Capcom... Like, all their powers were just fantastic. Right? Yeah, so I play... Like, you could play as the Super Skrull, which was basically in that game. And I don't know about the comics, but in that game, he was basically like, I'm the Fantastic Four's powers. None of them are in this game, though.
Yeah, but apparently they're going to be Skrulls. She's going to be fighting them, and it's going to be the 90s, I guess. Which makes me kind of, in, like, a very vague way... Like, I want the movie to be, like, a serious good movie, but I also am kind of hoping for it to do the same kind of thing for 90s nostalgia that Guardians did for 80s nostalgia.
Is that gonna work, though?
But I don't know if it'll work, because I don't know that there's as much of, like, a corny gleefulness to 90s nostalgia.
It depends on which culture you go into, but I don't know if... That works with her. I don't know much about Captain Marvel.
Yeah,
but
I don't know if it works with her like aesthetic.
Like Star-Lord's corny enough himself, and like the bright colors of the aliens themselves can lend to like 70s, 80s nostalgia.
Yeah, I mean Captain Marvel named her cat after Chewbacca.
So yeah,
you like can she's do it. Kind of a nerd.
Okay,
but she's also like like a woman who fought her way to become a fighter pilot and has fought stereotypes. Maybe like she has like that serious like I'm like gotta not necessarily be one of the guys, but like that like stereotype threat thing where you
like that I know how this world works, so I have to work with the guys even though I'm not going to sacrifice myself kind of thing.
Kind of like yeah, like just like I have to like I know that I have to be better than them to be considered equal to them kind of thing.
Hey, I'm a person of color. That was the talk
so
I got
you,
when
you
I was
know
four.
That. Yeah.
So, which, you know, was a hot conversation to give people in the 90s when I was a child. So they could do 90s nostalgia. Pretty much just look at some hip hop and boy bands. You know, if you have Justin Timberlake in a denim suit, you have captured the 90s.
There you are. Yeah. Just like, I'm wondering like how Spice World will the soundtrack be?
Oh, that's a good idea.
That's what I'm wondering. Because, like, I mean, like, again, like, Captain Marvel isn't, like, she's not Dazzler. She's not, like, a girl power female superhero. Like, she's more of, like, a seriously punching things female superhero. Mm. But, like, maybe she'll spice up our lives.
I mean, that could... Look, if you're a good writer, you can find a way to put Spice World into a movie without it, like, infringing on the character, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Infringing's not the word, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But yeah, so the funniest thing I saw that came out of the Captain Marvel news, though, is that they said it'll be Nick Fury's first appearance, because, like, in Iron Man 1, when he comes to recruit Tony, he says there are other superheroes out there. So they're kind of doing, like, a retroactive tieback to that and be like, yep, see, there they are. They were out there.
I mean, because, like, Tony would have known all about Captain America.
Yeah. Well,
was Cap
out of the ice? I don't think Cap was out of the ice during Iron Man 1.
No, but he knew of him. I mean, like...
But yeah, like, his dad was Howard Stark. Like, you probably grew up, like, hearing stories about Captain America.
Yeah.
And, like, then... Ant-Man... Oh, since the current Ant-Man is the second Ant-Man, and old Michael Douglas is old Ant-Man, presumably he was operating, and they also...
You would have known about the Hulk existing. Like, well, he knew about Bruce Banner, so, like...
Yeah, he was in the end of that movie. But, brief aside for Ant-Man news, because I don't give a fuck about Ant-Man, but they did
Paul
cast...
Paul Rudd, though, like...
Yeah, Paul Rudd, though. but they cast Michelle Pfeiffer as Janet Van Dyne to be, like, the older Wasp in the next Ant-Man movie, and Lawrence Fishburne and some other folks as supplementary characters. Who I was like, are these Marvel characters? When they were when they were reading off the names, like, are these Marvel characters? The hell are these? And then someone was like, are they Ant-Man characters? I was like, oh. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, you know, I feel like Paul Rudd was a good choice for Ant-Man, just because it gives people something to like about Ant-Man, because...
yeah.
Also, now he could turn into Giant Man, and they didn't seem to strain that much, so it's like, he better not, like, be losing fights. Also, how did he get out of, like, shield gel or whatever, but yeah, so, I don't know, I might go see this if the Wasp's in it. I mean, I don't know anything about her, but she's more interesting to me than Ant-Man.
Yep,
That's not really an aside, that's part of the news,
we just don't care about it. We didn't put Ant-Man on the outline of our notes today, yeah. Because I don't give a fuck about Ant-Man.
I forgot.
But what...
I do have a question, though, so yeah, give this next story so I can ask a question about it, please.
Oh, but what I was gonna say is that the funniest thing that came out of the Captain Marvel news is that someone was tweeting that since this is gonna be Nick Fury's first appearance, like, earliest chronological appearance in the MCU, in this appearance, he will have two eyes. Eye patch. He will, yeah. But, like, the way it was framed in the tweets that I was reading about the panel, it made it sound like people were just, like, clowning on Nick Fury. Like, it's gonna be going so far back in time that Nick Fury won't have lost an eye yet. Like, and then, like, later I saw it in, like, an article about the panel. Like, yeah, Nick Fury's gonna have two eyes. And I was like, that wasn't a lie. That wasn't a joke.
That's, that seems like someone was telling a joke, but yeah, I don't know. You don't give us Chekhov's eyeball without telling us how he lost it. Like, Nick Fury didn't lose his eye, like, in a baseball incident.
Maybe it was
incident.
In Budapest,
like,
or something.
It must have been in Budapest. Like, that's where we get the Black Widow Hawkeye movie.
Someday.
Okay, just a
movie. Just another Jason Bourne movie.
Just call it, like, I hope we get a Hawkeye movie, but it's just actually all about Black Widow. Like, it's just a bait and switch. Like, it actually is, he's just a sidekick the whole time, if anything.
It's like Mad Max. Like, Mad Max Fury Road was not about Max Rockatansky.
well, yeah, they're all like that, right? All the Mad Max movies are like that,
well, I think. I haven't seen another Mad Max movie, but, like...
But, yeah, so, then we also got that, the Tri poster for Infinity War.
Yes.
And Thanos should not have taken his helmet off.
He should not have taken
his helmet off. We got Captain America looking like a solid snake over here. Hot dad.
Like, they are not joking around with... the Chrises are all going full hot dad. I'm afraid to know what happens next. Like, if Chris Hemsworth grows, like, an academic beard, I'm gonna have a problem. Like...
He's gonna look like every dad in the dad simulator. Dad dating.
Yeah, game. There's just, like, a because Chris Pine's got the hot dad look now. Chris Evans.
Is Chris Pine in the Marvel Universe?
No, he's the only Chris who's not.
Okay.
At this point, they
kind of have to bring him in somehow. Like, I mean, we have enough white Chris's, but, like... Yeah, I guess there's
contractually a reason... Unless, like, his DC contract said, like, you cannot be in competitors movies, there's no reason why he can't come in and play, like, I don't know,
some bit part, like...
Yeah, some random white dude character. We've got plenty of them.
He should just be himself.
Like, oh my god, is that famous actor Chris Pine?
They should have him in the movies, like, man, like, they're gonna make Captain America movies based on your life. I was gonna get him, but they gave it to some other guy. Like, that would be, that's how you break the fourth wall, or put him in the Deadpool movie. Put him in Deadpool movie and consider that a win.
I dig it.
Yeah, but the Infinity War... And then Scarlett Johansson has white hair, Black Widow, for some reason.
Yeah, she's got, like, silvery blonde hair. I've seen a couple different theories for it, nothing that I'm, like, married to.
I mean, like, maybe just her and Captain America just got aged somehow.
Did that, or, like, I mean, they're also both war criminals, because they were Team Cap. Like, maybe they're just undercover, they were on the run.
That's bad undercover.
Like, yeah, they're not, I mean, has Black Widow ever been great at undercover, honestly? That one time, like,
yeah, in Winter Soldier.
She used that mask thing, but, like, at the beginning of Avengers, her strategy was get identified, get caught, and then beat people up.
It did work.
I still stand by that fight scene as one of the best, like, parts of that movie.
That was great. So my question, right? So, yes. Well, it's also interesting to see, like, all the Guardians in that poster, like, just seeing them next to the non-goofy people. Is Captain Marvel going to be in the War for Infinity?
That I don't know. I think she's got to at least make... She's not on the poster, but I'd be surprised if she doesn't make an appearance, both because she's a cosmic hero, like the Guardians, like, her powers are space-based.
Right.
And a lot of her, like, rogues gallery is other planetary folk. But also, like, I mean, her movie doesn't come out until 2020, which is after Infinity War.
Oh, okay.
But
it's also in the 90s.
Yeah, but it's in the 90s. Wonder Woman there? It seems like that's the idea.
Okay.
And going back to that, I wonder if... I'm also kind of curious, like, did they set the movie in the 90s to justify the fact that Brie Larson looks so young, and are they gonna, like, age her up and make her look like she's more of a woman of a certain age, or, like, cast a different woman to play, like, modern Captain Marvel?
Maybe she doesn't age in this universe. Maybe she has what Aunt May has.
Benjamin Button disease that Aunt May has. Movie franchises.
Yeah, I was hoping that, like, I didn't know the order of the movies. I was hoping what was gonna happen, Captain Marvel's gonna be in the 90s, and, like, yeah, we can't age up Brie Larson, so we're gonna throw Ms. Marvel into the War for Infinity. Isn't that great? Yay. But that probably won't happen. But they've got to tease Ms. Marvel, like, even if it's just, like, the way that Miles was teased in Homecoming.
Yeah, like, even if she just, like, she flies over Jersey City and, like, a little girl in, like, a hijab looks up, like...
Oh, hey. Yeah. Like, you gotta do... Like, that's the bare minimum. You have to do that.
Seriously.
And then there's more Thor stuff.
Yes, there's more Thor stuff. They dropped another trailer.
That poster looks messy as hell. Not yet. I want to, though. That poster looks messy, but, like, in a way that I'm like, this is a damn mess. And
But I can't stop looking at it.
I'm happy with it. I saw a screen of, like, Loki and Thor fighting side by side. Is that Infinity or is that Ragnarok?
That's in Ragnarok, yeah. It's okay. From the trailer.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It just, like, it looks really cool. Looks like Valkyrie's gonna play a pretty big role, which is, like, what, the first, like, save for the Spider-Man movies. It's really the first big role that a black woman has played in the MCU, I guess.
I think it's the only role.
The only role, yeah. Like,
yeah, there hasn't even been, like, a minor black character, if I can recall.
Yeah, so, Valkyrie is gonna be the first, like, major black woman character in the MCU after it only took, 9 years?
Well, black woman that gets to actually be a black woman, like...
Yeah.
Isn't Gamora, as opposed to... Black woman?
Because Zoe Saldana is black, but Gamora is a green alien, like...
Yeah,
it doesn't contribute to representation of black women on.
Yeah.
On maybe screen. Soon.
Are there any Asian heroes?
Mantis is very strongly Asian coded.
I'm not going to count that though.
But yeah, like if we're not counting Gamora, then we probably shouldn't count Mantis.
Well, I don't even think Gamora was black coded. I think it just happened to be.
Exactly.
Coding's not like a great thing. I think Tanya DePass wrote a good article about that before too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but Dr. Cho in Age of Ultron, she's not a hero, but she's the only Asian female character I can think of.
Yeah, so I know she was there. I wish she would have got, like, more play in the movies.
Yeah, and actually her, in canon, her son Amadeus is the Hulk now. Amadeus Cho, he's like the 8th smartest kid on the planet, or like the 8th smartest person on Earth.
Who's the first?
And Moon Girl.
Yes, it is. Hoo-hoo. It's Moon Girl and then Mr. Fantastic, right?
Something like that.
But he's a douche, so, like,
screw that. No one cares about him. There hasn't been a Fantastic Four comic for, like, 6 years, so.
There hasn't been a movie for 12.
But yeah, so Infinity War, like, no one can quite... Or wait, we're talking about Thor trailer now. But I was gonna say, no one quite convinced me that Infinity War is not gonna be a hot mess of, like... You know, like, at the beginning of a masquerade at a convention where, like, there's, like, the cosplay parade across the stage? That's my worst fear of Infinity War, is that it's just going to be, like, Ant-Man, catch! Thanks, Star-Lord! Like...
They can't say each other's names. If they say each other's names, that'll be bad. Well, it's bad, because a lot of them have to meet each other.
Hawkeye, go over there! Yeah, like...
Well, no, like, they just have to meet the Guardians. But at the same time, they did the beginning of, like, Ultron, and it worked. Like, there was, like, we need to show everybody with their powers real fast.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, though, I feel like this movie's the kind of payoff where it's like, look, we want to sell as many tickets as possible, but we don't have the time or the mind space to do any introductions. Like, this is a payoff of a 10-year gambit. You have to know what's going on when you get here. Sorry, like, this is, like...
Yeah, we're not doing that thing that, like, some fantasy novels do at the beginning of every book where they recap everything that happened in the last... 6 books, like, you haven't been reading for 6,000 pages.
Actually, they could do, which I would really appreciate? You know, like, the opening Marvel crawl that has, like, all the comic pages?
Mm-hmm.
They kind of did it in Spider-Man, but if they just did that, like, you could kind of speed through the major events of, like, the last 10 years in that page flipping thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could show, like, the major, you could just show all the origin stories and, like, all the stones getting captured or whatever it was, and people would be like, okay.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way to do it without, like, because you don't have time to tell people that. It's too much, man.
But anyway, back to Thor trailer. It looks really good. I don't know, but still don't know if it looks like a Thor movie, but it looks really good. It's got the Thor-Loki interaction that I want to see. It's got the Cate Blanchett chewing the scenery that I want to see. Thanks. It's got Jeff Goldblum-ing it up. Apparently he's the brother of the Collector from the Guardians franchise. That's the thing we learned at the con.
He looks like that. Well, the Collector was in Thor, right? He was in Thor 2.
Yeah. Yeah, because whatchamacall, the Sith and someone else brought him the ether? Whatever the red stuff was that was in Jane.
I ain't watched those movies. I treat Marvel how I treat Kingdom Hearts. I catch what I want to catch, and I like what I want to like. And I'll use a wiki to fill me in on the stuff that doesn't make sense.
Oh, boy.
So, let's come down and,
and jump back around to...
The high is over. Let's talk about DC.
Well, DC has realized where their money is coming from, at least.
Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they have confirmed for realsies that there will be another Wonder Woman movie, although I don't know that they've confirmed Patty Jenkins to direct yet.
I heard honestly, they were thinking about some dude, and that would be so stupid.
I know, like, honestly, like, someone even pointed out, like, the Justice League, they released, like, a 4-minute Justice League teaser that, like, someone pointed out that you see there are more butt shots of Wonder Woman in that 4-minute teaser than there are in the entire Wonder Woman movie. Which is just like, But they did lead the Justice League trailer with Wonder Woman action scene.
Like, they're really trying to have their cake and eat it, too.
Yeah. So, and then, like, they also, we also briefly see, I'm not familiar enough with the DC canon to recognize the villain from, like, the hints they're laying down. I saw something about it being, like, DC villain Steppenwolf, but the only thing I think of when I hear Steppenwolf is, the band or the musician. I don't know if it's a guy or a group, but... I associate it specifically with a song. I can't remember the name of the song, but it's in the movie Wild America, which...
You're going on a deep cut here, friend.
Right? My brother watched this movie constantly. It's got the kid who played Simba. There were three brothers, and they went on a road trip by accident kind of thing. It was like the Homeward Bound with people.
I have no idea what the hell you're talking about, but okay.
You've never seen Homeward Bound?
No, I was around when it was on. I told you I didn't watch movies till I was 14. But we watched it in music class several times.
Oh my god. I tear up when I hear, like, musical, like just, like, 3 seconds of music from Homeward Bound. I'm like, I'm looking it up right now. Wild America.
Wait, Born to Be Wild?
Yes, that's the song. I knew it was, like, a song that I would immediately recognize.
Okay, yeah, that's a very recognizable song. They also wrote Hoochie Coochie Man.
What the hell about that? Didn't they do Magic Carpet Ride, too?
Yes, they did.
But yeah, here we go. The fearless young Stouffer brothers set out with the begrudging approval of their no-nonsense father on a dangerous cross-country camping trip, intending to capture on film their encounters with wild animals and the last remnants of the natural world and the rapidly vanishing American West. I remember nothing of the plot of this movie, except that I think at some point they go skinny dipping, and then they have to run away from their clothes because they get chased by a bear or something. And that's like
sounds like it's a G-rated without a paddle.
Yeah.
With Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's what I think of when I hear Steppenwolf is Wild America, the 1997 movie about three brothers on a trip across the Wild West. There was the American West. It's not the Wild West anymore, but...
Well, Steppenwolf is also a villain.
Tell me about Steppenwolf.
Oh, I don't know. I just looked at his picture, and I'm like, this guy's supposed to be more of a threat than Doomsday? Like, get the hell out of here. Y'all made your movies in the wrong order. It's like, yo, guys, we just defeated Perfect Cell. Who do we have to fight now? Frieza. Oh, geez. Better call up the homies. This is gonna be tough. I guess without Superman, it's a little bit harder, but you still have, like, Wonder Woman and Cyborg and Aquaman and The Flash, like...
The first thing when you Google Steppenwolf DC is the thing that says, what if we all pretended we thought the band Steppenwolf was in Justice League?
That's... Well, it better be, because you gotta get some cheese points back. And then Flashpoint.
So they announced the, but anyway, the Justice League movie, it continues to look enjoyable, not quite on, like, the par of Wonder Woman, but, like, an enjoyable ensemble movie. I'll probably actually see this one in theaters, unlike the previous DC offerings.
I just hope young girls don't go in this movie hoping they're going to, like, feel as inspired as they did with Wonder Woman.
Yeah, they're not gonna have that.
Like, I hope they leave feeling that way, but I really hope that their mothers are like, maybe reel it in, honey. This one might not be so great. I hope I'm wrong, but I'd put money on me not being wrong about this. A little bit of money, not a lot, but a little. So yes, and the last point of DC news is they talked about Flashpoint.
Yeah, and,
from what I watched on a Movie Bob video, this is basically their way of like, we can do retcons in the future if we need to because Flashpoint happened, which is
So that's what the Flash movie is going, like the standalone Flash movie is going to be called, is Flashpoint. That means something to DC fans. I have not yet Googled what Flashpoint, but like it's like a cross universe kind of like the Secret Wars thing that Marvel did, right? Where like all the universes kind of collide to some extent.
So yeah, it's a Flash trying to, he does something to try to go back in time. I think it's when he saves his mom. Like that, that Barry change of timeline thing.
Yeah.
which I think, like, he runs into people, like, alternate versions of, like, characters in the past or in different dimensions. So this could be, like, because there's rumors of Ben Affleck not being Batman for a super, super long time. So this could be the way to retcon a different Batman into existence without having, like, too many universe problems.
Uh-huh.
Or, like, oh, hey, Jared Leto's not the Joker anymore. Suicide Squad happened slightly differently. Oh wow, I guess we don't know why it's different, but I mean, at the same time, if Ben Affleck wants to stop being Batman, he can. It didn't stop, like, Marvel didn't mind getting rid of Terrence Howard for Rhodey, and they don't even look close. So, like, for Don Cheadle and Terrence Howard, that's, Terrence Howard had to piss somebody off, man, like, I know there's, like, the stereotype that, like, white people think black people all look alike, but you aren't confusing Terrence Howard and Don Cheadle. Like, they are two different shades of people. That was F. Terrence Howard. Who's the polar opposite we can get that's still a black man? Oh, it's Don Cheadle? That's who we're getting. It would have been Idris Elba if he wasn't already going to be Heimdall. Oh, man. What if we would have had Idris Elba as Rhodey?
I can't even handle it.
I just feel cheated that Idris Elba's wasted on Heimdall.
I know. What if we had Idris Elba as, like, the Blue Marvel or, like, some, like, real intense, like, Blue Marvel's one of the most powerful and intelligent superheroes in the Marvel Universe, like.
Is he old or young?
He's, like, dad age.
We could still, like, dad age or daddy age?
Like dad age, like, Stacker Pentecost, like.
Okay, some
Things that Idris Elba is old enough to play.
So not like Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, not Morgan Freeman age, like
Lawrence Fishburne.
Like has an adult child age.
Okay, well, we're adults, so our parents. Oh man.
We're adults.
Last two things, just since we're getting long in the tooth here. Kind of. We've gone longer. Yeah.
Tell me about the Steven Universe.
So they always do their Steven Universe panels at these events, and they did some teaser clips. There's one I found on the internet that's about 6 minutes. It's like all the teasers they did. The teaser I saw, I hate being the person to spoil stuff, but this isn't too much. Steven and Connie are going to go see Lars, take him a care package, and they jump through his hair. And he is not in the cave that they left him in, but instead he is pretty much a space pirate now with all the off-color gems. And, They're in, like, a ship battle. He's wearing, like, a cool uniform that, like, is going to be cosplayed before these episodes come out, unless they come out in the next month. And he's just being
dumb. when Homestuck was updating regularly, people would have, like, a competition, basically, on Tumblr to be the first person to cosplay something from the updated panel. And it was, a 24-hour turnaround max. Someone is already finishing their Lars coat.
Yeah, I guess enough people have seen it by now. Yeah.
I'm just, like, creeping on the clip right now, by the way, and Connie's ponytail is so cute.
There's so much goodness in it. And Lion, they look at him like he's cute, but, I mean, yeah, if someone has made function, like, a good Doomfist cosplay that wasn't commissioned, like, I saw, like, a white dude that was, like, a really good Doomfist, didn't do blackface or nothing, and we still knew who the hell he was. Imagine that.
Look at that.
Yeah, but there's gonna be Lars in this coat. It looks cool. They like cool, like a. Would they be like? I call them boss subtitles, but what would it be? Like title cards.
Yeah, like title cards. I'm literally watching this while you're talking. It's so funny because it's such just like a Star Trek send up.
Yeah. It's a Star Trek ship for the most part.
It's delightful.
Yeah, but it's about like 2 minutes or something. It's really cool. I have no idea what's going to happen in the episode. I don't know how far into the episode that is. I don't know if it's part of a Steven bomb or what's going on, but apparently Lars' parents do know that Lars is disposed.
In space.
I don't know if they know he's in space, but they know he's not in Beach City.
Well, those are the only two options, I guess, except maybe, like, somewhere in Pennsylvania and New York.
Are they in, where are they at? Are they in Jersey?
When they went, well, I don't know where they, I don't know where Beach City is, but when they went to, the episode with Ruby and Sapphire was in Keystone State or something like that.
Well, that's a real hotel. I know they went to PA, and I know they went to New York, and I know they don't like New Jersey, so they must be in Maryland or PA.
Well, they can't, there aren't any oceanfront beaches in PA, so I'm gonna guess maybe Delaware or...
Yeah, they're probably not an ocean city. I mean, there's Erie.
Yeah, but that's a beach. That's an ocean-ass ocean.
Yeah, that is the ocean.
Lake Erie.
Yeah. So they're in that area. Also, Rebecca Sugar needs an answer for her sins. Where the hell is Russia at? You know, we had to get freaking concrete. You need to tell us what the hell happened to Russia. There's also we got a trailer for the Save the Light game, the Steven Universe Save the Light.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, you can play as everybody. I haven't seen any Lapis playthrough yet, but you can control Steven, Greg, all the crystal gems, Peridot. She has her little arm iPad thing. Mm-hmm. And there's a villain called Squaredot, which is a Peridot, but her gems on her eye. So I mean, you just like, I don't know what the significance is, how much there is there, but so it looks to be like the first one, but a little bit better. So there's that. And yeah, we talked about Star Trek send-up. You want to tell me about the real Star Trek? Because there's some good shit, if I recall you talking about it.
Yes. Someone we follow on Twitter. I don't know if you still follow her or not, but I follow her.
I do.
Okay, yeah. We met her. She was a Angelica cosplayer at New York Comic Con last year. So we met her as part of our, like, abrupt Hamilton meetup. And she is a big nerd and also a pop culture writer, so she went to
Big nerd cosplaying as Angelica at Comic-Con, never would have guessed.
I know, right? So she went to Comic-Con this last weekend. I was like leaning on all of her, like just like sitting on her timeline, basically like just whatever news she could give me about what was there, just put it in my eyeballs. But so she managed to get into the Star Trek panel, where they put forth, like, a ton of exciting details about the new show coming up, most heartwarming of which is that, apparently, like, everyone just loves Sonequa Martin-Green, who's playing the main character. Like, the whole cast just has such love for her. Like, she said, like, it turned into just a love fest.
That's
awesome.
Always nice, though.
Always nice to have that kind of attitude around your central black female character.
Yeah, just but, that Headless Horseman show.
Yeah, just like Sleepy Hollow did. I mean, wait. Like, the opposite of what Sleepy Hollow did.
Look,
the exact opposite.
I wasn't trying to shade the show by not remembering its name. I just forgot it, but, like, I strive to be that petty, though.
I thought you were just trying to, like, make, like, a subtle allusion to it.
No, I didn't know. I forgot what it was called. Didn't stop me from being a dick, though.
But we got some exciting, some exciting casting news. They announced the character, the actor who's going to be playing Anthony Rapp's character's love interest, Wilson Cruz, who I didn't recognize off the top of my head, but that's awesome. I actually wonder if it's going to be one of those things where, like, that's the romance part of the show. Like, there's one romantic subplot, and it's an interracial gay one. Yes, that'd be great.
Look, I mean, the status quo is already pissed off. Like, let's just make more people happy. Let's just make more people happy. Like,
but the other exciting thing, the big drop. And spoiler alert: skip yourself ahead if you don't want to hear it.
About a minute and a half.
The big drop of the episode or of the panel was that Sneakwa's character, who is some kind of Vulcan. Her adoptive parents are Sarek and Amanda, Amanda Grayson, who are Spock's parents. Which is a big deal, because it means Spock has a secret sister, which is, like, super, like, fantastically Mary Sue. But also, I'm interested to see how it plays out in canon. Like they said, there is a very reasonable reason for why Spock never mentioned her. which I'm curious to find out what that is. But, like, Sarah and Amanda are, like, if you wanted to have, like, a touch point to the original series, like, holy shit. Spock's parent, like, Spock's mom and dad, like, you went all the way right there. So, that's exciting news.
Yeah, I remember when you said this, you're like, you were saying some things, and I'm like, I'm ignorant. Tell me why this is exciting. And I was like, I hope she doesn't read this as sarcasm. Like, I'm literally, I have no
idea. I knew what you meant. I was like, I didn't expect you to have any, like, like, even just say, like, I could have just said, like, Spock, like, Spock's parents are her surrogate parents, but, like,
yeah, but
you I went to, for their given names.
Well, yeah, you have to go with, like, the fact. Like, let the plebes like me ask the question. That's dope. That's really cool.
But yeah, so I'm excited about how that plays out. I'm still not excited about the fact that it's on CBS's pay-per-view streaming network to real TV. But as it approaches, maybe they'll get their heads out of their asses and realize that if they play it that way, they're going to have a lot of piracy.
Yeah, which is not so great, but, you know, it's... I hate when people are like, I want to buy this, or I want to procure this, but you're making it really fucking difficult, like...
Yeah, I mean, like, at least, like, if you have an HBO subscription, like, you're getting multiple... Like, even if you primarily watch Game of Thrones with it, you're getting more than one show from it. Like, what other shows are on CBS All Access exclusively? You want to pay $10 a month for?
I don't. Wait, you, like, want to pay? No, nothing. Come on,
nothing. Like, you pay $10 a month, less than $10 a month to Netflix, and you have more access to more stuff than you can possibly watch in your lifetime.
Oh yeah, and there's like, I'm willing to pay $10 for, like, just getting the comedians on there and the Criminal Minds reruns. Everything else is bonus off the top, and it is worth it. And here's just some quick news. Do you have anything else to say about Star Trek?
No, just I'm excited.
Okay, let's not even do a second break, so I don't want to have to edit after doing all this. But the quick news is some movie news. I just saw this headline for Vox because I like to scroll Twitter and for news while we're talking. Just for this kind of thing, Wonder Woman overtakes Guardians of the Galaxy 2 as the summer's biggest movie. This is on Vox. I'm reading this. Taking almost $39 million in ticket sales domestically. So I mean, that means it beat last year's Batman v Superman, which it should have, and Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Its overall gross is 780 million, I think, overall, which is beating that. It's getting close to Batman v Superman's worldwide, but, like, I don't know if it will.
I'm just, like, kind of, like, dancing and, like, pointing my middle finger at the sky.
Yes. And we can do that happily without, like, any worries, because it's not the same thing, but Girls Trip, that movie, it's kind of like a vacation with four black women, is kicking all sorts of ass in the box office this week, which is great news. It's nice to see what is this article even says Girls Trip is a comedy starring four black women, which Hollywood usually considers a niche film, in quotes, dash, but its opening week numbers are far from niche, because what a coincidence, the black female dollar is a real demographic, and when you make a movie that looks funny, you're going to get more than just black women. How about that? What a strange concept. Black women aren't a risk to put in movies. Keep doing it. But so it's nice to see that women are kicking ass in the comic space and in the
in the more comedies. General movie space.
Yeah. So it's nice to see. It's nice to see. And let's just jump into the shit we got section. So you want to introduce it? Do your little voice clip?
Yeah, let's do it. So this is our third and final section of the week. There's no music before this because we're just jumping right in. So tired. Because we're tired and this has been a long-ass episode. So what do you get this week, Dom?
I got Splatoon 2. That's pretty much it. I'm so hyped. It's so awesome. This game's
great.
Tell
me about it.
So pretty much calling it Splatoon 2 is just, I feel like it's more technical. It's just the first game again, but more stuff in it. And that's, which is, of course, but that's not what Nintendo usually does. Most of their sequels are like a drastic change. Other than Super Mario Galaxy 1 and 2, they normally add like a new mechanic or do something really wildly different. If you look at from Mario 64 to Mario Sunshine to Mario Galaxy, they're wildly different. Every Kirby game is practically something new. But Splatoon 2, I mean, even to the point that, like, their single player uses, like, a lot of the same tracks, but, like, remixed. Pretty much the same gimmicks, but retooled differently. They add new stuff. It's definitely a new campaign. It doesn't feel like they recycled the levels, just similar gimmicks. But this one was definitely harder this time around. Not like Dark Souls or Super Meat Boy or even like old school Mario hard, but definitely enough that I'm like, better take my time or I'm gonna fall off the cliff. And wow, they're making me use like a Gatling gun to fight like enemies that are running at me. This is not ideal, but it's interesting. So fun campaign. They multiplier, they change it so that the rotation isn't every 4 hours but every 2 hours, which is good. So, you know, it's a better game. It's, you know, it's just from what I've played so far, whatever you gave Splatoon 1, you'd give this game maybe 0.5 more on the review scale as a standalone game. As a sequel, it's not really burning the world down, but there's new weapons. It's cool. I mean, there's a... they're only having their cake and eating it too. I'm looking at the cover right now. There's a girl Inkling on the cover, and she's definitely... darker than white and lighter than black, and not the same colors like a generic like anime color, I guess you would say, or an Asian color. Not that Asian people are generic, but there's like a generic anime color, I feel like.
That yeah, is they're just for, like, kind of like pale skin tone.
Yeah, there's a reason that Mario and Mega Man have the same skin color despite being from different backgrounds. ever think about that? But yeah, she's definitely brown-ish, so they're like, yeah, we have a brown girl on the cover. I mean, they also have Marina, who is a brown octopus. So, fun game, glad I got it. I've already beat the campaign. It's not super long, but there's replayability, and I think you get, like, if you beat every level in the game with a certain weapon, you get, like, that weapon unlocked in the shop, like, the skin of it. And I'm like, ooh, that feels like you're trying to get us to play. I'm just going to do it with a standard weapon. So I don't need it's something to do, like, in the 4 months after this game comes out, where you're like, I don't feel like playing online right now. Let me go grind out a couple of these weapons real fast. But, and a cute story. So it's the last boss was not as wow as the first one, as it was in the first game. No spoilers, but it's still, like, pretty cool. You'll get a smile and a chuckle out of it. They went more for story in this one than the boss, but good idea. And that's what I got. Did you get anything this week?
Not really. I got a lot of boxes. I rented some boxes from a New York specific moving company because New York is like this. You can just rent like 30 plastic tubs from some dudes. drop them off a week before you move. That's not suspicious. Drop them off a week before you move. Fill them with your shit. They come to your new house and pick them up a week after. So,
I mean, that's a good deal. That's a good plan. Yeah, it just sounds sketch mode.
No, yeah. I mean, it works out. I don't have to worry about, like, storing them anywhere or trying to find a way to recycle them or anything. They just go back and someone else puts their shit in them next week. But,
awesome.
But yeah, that's all I've really done this week. This week I packed. That's about it. My cat's losing her mind. Everything is strange and different. She can tell the change is coming. Doesn't like it. So,
Well, I mean, you know, it's awesome.
But yeah, that's where I am.
Breaking news to us.
Break some news.
It's not new. It's from yesterday, I guess, which is apparently, according to flickeringmyth.com, which is a film rumor site.
Yeah, I was going to say, is this a
No, this is about comic movies. Apparently, Thor Ragnarok's director, Taika Waititi, is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
Cool. He says roughly 80% of the film is improvised.
What?
I don't know if he's right about that, but how do you improvise with Hulk as CGI? I don't know. And man, Loki really loves like the bondage looks in these films.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, I saw a tweet to that extent or to that point earlier. It was like, man, he's just always tied up, isn't he?
Or in a cage, you know. Social media biz, what we got?
Tell us about it.
So tired. So So you want to hear us at our peak. It's probably going to be on Twitter, so you can find me all over the internet and on Twitter, especially, at Brother Domus, B-R-O-T-H-A, not E-R. You won't find me with brother. I say it like brother on purpose. So that's, you know, Twitter, Instagram, all the good stuff. You can find Steph on Twitter at Captain Steph or on the gram at Hella Steph. You can find this you can find this podcast on Twitter at Character Rev. That's two R's in the middle, or on Instagram at Character Reveal, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Or you can find us on characterreveal.simplecast.fm, or on Google Play Podcast, or on iTunes, or on Stitcher, or you can go over to Facebook and search Character Reveal. You'll recognize the logo. Find us on Patreon, patreon.com/character reveal. Every little bit helps. It'll help us get to more conventions, meet more guests, have more good conversations. We even have some little backer rewards. They're modest right now, but
they're cute.
We're gonna start. There's something. But I mean, you're in it for the cause, you know. It's helping out two learning podcasters is its own reward. And we both write for the Lady Geek Girl and Friends blog. That's ladygeekgirl.wordpress.com. It's an intersectional feminist blog where we talk about, you know, like the pop culture and stuff. And you know, you can get reviews from us. You can get a little bit of news, opinions. It's really opinions and editorial heavy, right? And we both have stuff coming up. You can search our authors' names and that sort of thing. You can find us there. We have links to it. It's all good. I'll give you one guess to what my name and handle is over there. But that's called branding, folks. But I think that's everything for this week, right, Steph?
I have one more little piece of news I want to throw in under the. Oh. Under the bar, as the bunker door comes down, they're struggling with the reshoots for the Justice League movie because Henry Cavill grew a mustache for the Mission Impossible movie, and they're apparently struggling with reshoots because they have to digitally edit out Superman's mustache in every shot.
Detective Comics, everyone.
Comics, jazz hands.
I think that's a good time to close.
And on that note,
this was brought to you by Genji Seam Ripper Shimada. And until next time,
see you later. Superman's mustache.
And so
bye.
Until next time, we'll see you later.
Bye.
Oh, damn it.